And we are back on RFD Today for this Tuesday. And again, a good day to you. I'm Alan Durand at the Illinois Farm Bureau. Rita's heading down to St. Louis today to attend the monthly meeting of the St. Louis Agribusiness Council. And today we're going to talk a little bit about diet, health, nutrition, and why so many of our young people are overweight. We've got a high rate of obesity among children. Going to talk a little bit about that today with Monica Nyman with the St. Louis Dairy Council. Monica, nice to have you back in again.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
For folks that haven't heard you with us before, tell us a little bit about your work with St. Louis Dairy Council. What do you do?
Well, I am a nutrition educator, and I'm actually a registered dietitian for the Dairy Council. And my job is really just to bring awareness to dairy's place in the diet and how that fits into a very healthy diet. The Dairy Council does have a lot of programs and resources available for the 131 counties that we service. We are in central and southern Illinois, as well as central and eastern Missouri. So we have a lot of resources that we provide to schools, to health professionals, to consumers, and then doing media is also another component of my role with the Dairy Council.
Well, one thing I know we wanted to talk about today, childhood obesity. We've all heard about that problem. One-third of children, apparently, in the country today are overweight to obese. That's a pretty high number.
It's a very high number. It's actually a statistic that is alarming in our country. So September is Childhood Obesity Awareness Month because this issue is so strikingly large. We want to make sure that we're bringing awareness to childhood obesity so that everyone is kind of on board with making our kids healthier as they get older.
Another thing I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't much relationship here between the quality and quantity of food that's available. In fact, we tend to find higher income kids are probably less likely to be obese, but lower income more likely to be obese. Is that true?
That can be true. There really is a simple fact is that our kids are overweight, but they're undernourished. So really the problem is that kids are eating so many foods, they're getting a lot of calories, but they're not getting healthy calories. And, you know, eating healthy, you do have to really plan ahead for that. You have to have, you know, parents have to be on board for making foods that fit into a healthy lifestyle. And there are some levels of income that it may be a little bit more difficult for them to be purchasing the things that, you know, we consider healthy and important to a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, it's one of the things we learn. The foods that you don't want to eat too much of, all the calories and starches and things, tend to be lower priced, whereas protein tends to be higher priced. So the lower income, the easier it is to move off to a diet that may be filling, but not all that nutritious for you.
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of resources available for people who are in that lower income bracket to be able to help them provide for them healthier foods that really, you know, make sense for them.
And, you know, a lot of folks say, well, if kids are a little overweight, they'll grow out of it. But there are lingering problems with childhood obesity. You're setting yourself up for future problems as adults. And I suspect one of them is type 2 diabetes, which has become an epidemic in this country.
It is. And, you know, childhood obesity has more than doubled in children. However, it's quadrupled in adolescents in the past 30 years.
And now, define children and adolescent.
Well, you know, an adolescent would be like a teenager.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And one of the things that I think that is relevant to that is that younger kids have that satiety factor. You know, like my kids, they're little, they're in elementary school, but they can say, I'm full, I don't want any more food. But I think that as kids get older, they kind of grow out of that, just as adults do. We have no idea how full we are. We eat until the plate is empty, or the all-you-can-eat buffets cause a huge problem for people because they just don't have that satiety radar, you know, the trigger anymore. But children and adolescents who are obese are also likely to be obese as adults. And that's sort of where the healthcare problems really become an issue. And so not only type 2 diabetes, but you're also looking at heart disease, stroke, several different types of cancer, and osteoarthritis. It's a big problem. It's costing a lot of money, healthcare dollars, to take care of these issues when so many of them are directly related to the extra weight that people have.
I would think part of the problem, too, is the fact that today we have so many processed foods with preservatives. You know, we want to be able to buy things at the store, put it in the pantry, and 3 weeks later it's still there and still good. But the chemicals and the salt that you have to put in to preserve these foods doesn't necessarily lead to a healthy diet.
That is true. And there are a lot of prepackaged, you know, those are very convenient foods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you buy them on the shelf, they sit in your cabinet for a really long time, and you don't have to go back to the store and get them for a couple months. So you really do have to take a look at, like you mentioned before, the quality of the foods that you're eating, because that's going to directly relate to the amount of calories, and not only calories, but like the added sugar that you're consuming. So it really is important for parents to be on board with trying to prepare healthy foods for your kids, because you really are setting them up to be a healthy adult.
Now, you mentioned there's good information available to let people know what's good, what's not so good, and what you should avoid like the plague. Where is this information that's easy to find?
Well, you know, what we use to teach people about eating healthy is what's called the My Plate. And if you can remember back several years ago, it used to be the pyramid, the
right.
Food guide pyramid. Okay. So now we're looking at the My Plate, and this concept has been around for a couple of years, and it really is a visual representation of what a healthy diet looks like. And in my past position, I worked a lot with diabetes and weight management, and it really is a lot easier for people to understand what they're supposed to be eating, because it can be complicated. You know, I'm a registered dietitian, and I still see articles every day of what you should and shouldn't be doing. It's complicated. But this is really to try to help people make it simple for them. So if you think about a plate, half of it needs to be fruits and vegetables.
I saw and on fruits and vegetables, you know, your sugars and things like that, you get that, the amount you need naturally through your fruits and vegetables. I saw a shocking number not long ago. If you go back to the 1800s, average sugar consumption, now we're talking added sugar, not natural sugar, but added sugar, it was like 2 pounds a year for people, you know. Maybe had a little candy around the holidays, and it was about it. Today, it's phenomenal. It's like 100 pounds per person per year, and I'm thinking that's got to be related to adult-onset diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Oh, absolutely, and really type 2 diabetes, it doesn't occur from eating too much sugar. What happens is when you eat too much sugar, you start gaining weight, and then your body doesn't function correctly is essentially what happens with that. But, the natural sugars are in fruits, and so half of your plate, fruits and vegetables. And then for the other half of that plate, you want a quarter of it being lean protein, a quarter of it being whole grains, and then your dairy, of course, is just kind of sitting off to the edge of that plate. So if you can think about that and visualize that, that really does help people understand what they're supposed to be eating for all of their meals. And kind of going back to that sugar, it's really interesting to put some little sugar cubes out next to like a soda or something like that for people to be able to see exactly how much sugar is in the stuff that they're drinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of it in soda. We'll talk about that and a few other things when we return with Monica Nyman of the St. Louis Dairy Council. This is RFD Today. I'm Alan Gerand. We'll be right back. We are back on RFD Today for this Tuesday. Good day. I'm Alan Gerand. Our guest, Monica Nyman, St. Louis Dairy Council. We're talking about the problem with childhood obesity. 1 out of 3 of our children in this country are overweight, and that number goes up when you get to teenagers and even worse in adults. Obesity leads to heart disease, type 2 diabetes, strokes as you get older, several types of cancer related to being overweight, and a lot of other health issues as adults as well. A lot of this has to do with eating high-calorie, low-nutritious food. Sugar got to be a problem. We just mentioned earlier about the incredible volume of sugar people eat today compared to 100 years or so ago. And soft drinks have to be a leader in this. A soft drink, a soda, it's just kind of like a bottle of syrup, really, isn't it?
It for sure is. And, you know, that's one way that people can really improve the quality of their diet is by not consuming those types of sugary beverages. In the past, I used to teach carbohydrate counting for people who were trying to control their blood sugars. Most of my women would get around 45 to 60 grams of carbohydrate for a meal. And one can of soda can have about 40 grams of carbohydrate. So when I would show that label to them and they would look at it and they would do that math, they would, you know, that's almost their whole entire meal of carbohydrates in that one drink. Yeah. So it can make a significant impact on your blood sugar levels. And also it's contributing a ton of empty calories. You know, we talked a little earlier about children being overweight but undernourished. These are examples of those kinds of foods that are not providing any quality nutrition. However, they're providing a high amount of calories in one's diet.
I know there are people out there thinking now, I just drink sugar-free, you know, the no-calorie sodas with the artificial sweeteners, so I'm okay. But as I understand it, what an artificial sweetener does, it, even though it doesn't actually have the calories, it does stimulate some insulin production, which then lowers your blood sugar and makes you hungry, so you go back and consume that sugar or carbohydrates somewhere else. So it really doesn't help that much in the long run.
Right. It's not helping. It's, you know, it's not that high calorie beverage because it does have zero calories in it. But there is a lot of information out there that reports that drinking diet soda really does not improve the diet necessarily or even help with weight loss just because you are kind of constantly looking for other foods throughout the day because of that artificial sweetener consumption. So it really is better to just drink plenty of water, you know, try to use that as your refreshments instead of the diet sodas or the regular sodas. And then also, you know, don't forget to get your 3 servings of dairy per day, which is giving you lots of high quality nutrition. So you can drink milk with your meals, which would be a much healthier option for you.
Yeah, I think the key about dairy, it's high in protein. Protein is filling, doesn't make you hungry. Whereas some of the other things, the sugars and so forth, you know, it fills you up in the short term, but then, you know, the insulin is produced, your blood sugar goes down, and suddenly you're hungry again. You avoid that cycle when you eat higher protein foods. It's more filling, and the protein doesn't have the calories in it, but it does have the nutrition, the amino acids, and everything else you need. So the higher the protein, the better off you're going to be.
I am very impressed with that explanation, Alan. That was very good.
I was semi-correct. Huh?
You are, yes. And, you know, it is important to eat protein at each of your meals, and even snacks have been shown to keep you satisfied for longer. And dairy for sure has, you know, 9 essential nutrients. It's a high-quality protein, about 8 grams of protein per serving. So it's great to have with all of your meals and snacks just to get that high-quality nutrition and to help improve your diet and get those essential nutrients that your body does need.
Yeah, and fruits and vegetables, same thing. They provide a lot of the nutrients you need. And some of them, like beans, for example, a lot of protein there as well.
Yeah, beans are a great source of protein. They also have fiber in them, which is another component of eating a healthy diet, is getting the whole grains and the fibrous foods, which fruits and vegetables have as well. And that helps with blood sugar, helps keep you full, has a lot of really positive health benefits.
One thing I did want to ask in the last couple minutes that we have here, the school lunch programs for a lot of years got kind of a bad rap because they relied heavily on a lot of surplus foods and things, and they tended to have a lot of high carbohydrate, high sugar foods. But I understand that's been improved rather dramatically in recent years.
It has, and it's been very recent. Actually, the last 2 years of the school lunch program and the school breakfast program have been significantly revamped. They've been working really hard to offer healthier breakfasts, lunches, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables on those menus, whole grains now, so that fiber component instead of those white processed types of foods. All of the milk served at school is either low-fat or fat-free, so the kids are still able to have the flavored milks, which add a little bit of added sugar, but they still have all of those 9 essential nutrients in it, which is really important. This year, however, kind of the new thing for the schools is that they really put some regulations on the snacks that they're providing. So anything sold a la carte, you know, they're looking at portion size, how many calories are in those portions, how much sugar, does it have a significant amount of vitamins and minerals in it. So that was kind of the biggest change starting this new school year, was looking at what the schools are offering for the snack programs.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier USDA's My Plate program. That's a pretty good resource, you think?
It's a wonderful resource. They have a lot of information on there on healthy food options, even some sample meal plans. And for those of you who are interested in looking at more information, that website is myplate.gov.
Myplate.gov. Well, we could talk more about it. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, but we'll do it again pretty soon. Monica Nyman is with the St. Louis Dairy Council. I feel healthier just talking with you today.
Oh, I made an improvement on your your healthy lifestyle
today. You did,
today.
You did, yes. With that, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of RFD Today.